WrestleTalkRadio.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio, boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team.
I'm Al Silk.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom, or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is the Masterpiece, Chris Masters.
Hi, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Mace.
You can't get away from me, Vince. I'm coming for you. Pull that bus over, I'll drag you out of there and beat the piss out of you, you billionaire bastard.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Who in the blue hell are you?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby. And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. This is Omega. I'm amazed my tongue still functions enough to talk. And before anyone gets any thoughts, no, I just ate something really, ugh. Someone has to teach me how to get like teriyaki taste off of my tongue, because this is driving me nuts. So yeah, WTR Sunday night, we have Mace.
Sorry, I was still like headbanging to the most awesome rendition of Darkwing Duck I've ever heard in my life.
You're welcome.
Awesome. And also, the Jews.
Oh my god, we got all kinds of wrong last night.
Oh yeah. So how are you, Mr. Teriyaki?
My tongue. Ugh.
you need, as I said to you in our little chat thing before the show, you need to actually try some proper, like, teriyaki chicken or something, not a gas station log thing from Japan. Okay.
It's like there's a party in my mouth and everyone shit their pants. Ah.
That's what happens when you go for the cheap stuff.
I didn't go for it. It was given to me.
It was free, therefore cheap.
Lindsay?
Yes?
How do I get this taste off my tongue?
Have you tried Lita?
I think that'd make it worse.
Well, then...
That or it completely removed my tongue.
Bleach?
I'm debating it.
Well, I told you to use bleach to get it off your hands.
I've washed my hands twice and I can still smell it.
Well, you need to find some girly fragrance soap that will cover it up.
No.
I have some you can borrow.
No.
But
okay, teriyaki aside, we also have the one and only Tim Stein.
I guess you guys didn't want to play along with Rock and introduce me just to have Lindsay talk.
Hey, he called
on
me.
More pressing matters.
More pressing, like talking about teriyaki.
Ooh, Omega, you've never had teriyaki chicken, like, ever?
I've never had anything teriyaki.
Okay, it's a bit of an acquired taste. I had teriyaki chicken wings last night before my lasagna.
Ew.
Yeah, those two flavor combinations didn't exactly go together.
I would hope not.
But hey, it was free. And free is nice and cheap.
Yeah,
like
but just
Nace said.
But just because it's free doesn't mean you should eat it. Case in point, Omega's teriyaki stick.
I'm never eating anything that a stranger in Japan sends me again.
Wait a minute. Listen. The teriyaki that soiled your tongue came from Japan?
Yeah.
Okay, what was the teriyaki on?
It was kind of this, like, it's basically like a big Cheeto.
A big Cheeto.
Yeah,
a like teriyaki cheese stick.
Essentially.
You ate a teriyaki cheese puff.
Yeah.
And Lindsay was just commenting on me mixing teriyaki chicken wings with lasagna and things that don't go together.
Well, it wasn't a cheese puff. It was just teriyaki.
Okay. Never eat teriyaki on its own. You put it on things. It's a condiment, for Christ's sakes.
It was on something. It was on this...
A cheese puff!
It wasn't a cheese puff because there's nothing cheese about it, but it was the texture. It's this crunchy thing.
It was a crunchy thing. Oh, God.
Was it a chicken stick?
I don't know.
What the hell does it say on the package?
I can't read it.
And it came from Japan. So it could actually say smiley happy teriyaki cheese log. You don't
There's
know.
Nothing cheese about it. It's just teriyaki. It's this it's a brand called Omai, which is supposed to mean tasty, yummy. It's bullshit.
Really?
Well, if anybody would like it, I found a really good teriyaki chicken on a stick recipe.
You know, in English, oh my means what the fuck?
I think I just found it.
Just saying.
Omega, did it look like this?
Let's see here. Get it away!
Oh, that was it? Yeah, you
Get
found
it, away.
It Hey, it's $15 for that great big whole bunch of stuff, and shipping's only an extra $10.
Yeah, but I can't afford the medical bill.
What the fuck is it with the cheese, with the hamburger, with the eyeballs?
I don't know.
And you actually ate that?
Willingly?
It's this thing. People, like, make videos of eating weird shit, and it's...
Were you making a video?
Yes.
It was.
Okay, wait a minute. So you lost a bet or something like that?
No.
Then why were you making a video of eating shit on a stick flavored with teriyaki?
One, there's no stick involved.
Okay, stickless
Two,
shit.
It was given to me for free, so I figure, okay, let's make some amusement out of this, because people eat weird shit in videos lately.
Alrighty then.
Okay, technically the reason why there's a hamburger on it is it's teriyaki burger flavor.
Bullshit.
Well,
apparently
that's what it
not.
Says. According to the source for everything, and we always know it's right, Wikipedia.
Wikipedia rocks.
Well, at least it wasn't beef tongue.
Ugh.
Or shrimp and mayonnaise.
Now, just relax. I'm watching the JTV feed, and I'm watching Omega eat this thing right now. So he's chasing it with a Coca-Cola.
Ew. Dude, no.
I wasn't chasing it. I was trying to get the taste out of my mouth.
Did you eat dirt from the ground?
Oh, God. Now he's reading the wrapper, trying to figure out just what the fuck he put into his mouth. dead silence here as we watch JTV. This is great.
Looking at a picture of it, it kind of looks like a taquito.
It's a small puff cylindrical corn snack from Japan, huh?
The way I described it in the video, it's basically like a really long, like, Fruit Loop.
Only it wasn't a loop.
No, it was a tube.
It was a fruit tube.
I wish it was a fruit tube.
Omega, it's too bad you don't smoke.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a consensus, yeah.
Well, if you smoked, then half of your taste buds would be dead and that bad taste would already be out of your mouth.
Except it would taste like cigarette instead of teriyaki.
How would you know? Do you smoke?
I've tried it once or twice.
That doesn't mean that you smoke.
Doesn't mean that I haven't tried it.
It doesn't mean you're a smoker. It's a difference.
You're right, but I still tried it, and my mouth still tasted like cigarette.
Well,
and it was disgusting.
That's because you don't smoke, and half your taste buds aren't dead. Not that I smoke or anything, and have been smoking since I was in grade 7.
Still, couldn't.
But you know,
it.
Is this Tim Stein admitting he has no taste?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay. I don't know. I wouldn't say I've got great taste. I just have no taste buds.
Anyway,
can you tell us
like,
Floyd Newsweek?
Yeah, can we talk about something a little bit more interesting?
I don't know. This has been kind of an interesting topic to start shit off with. Basically, Omega admitting that he's eating a shit sandwich.
I don't know if it's a shit sandwich, but it's definitely a log of something.
There you go.
No, I'm pretty sure they discontinued shit sandwich in 2006.
KFC's bringing it back next month. That being said, let's get into it officially. Welcome to WTR, Sunday Night Rest Talk Radio, everybody. Yeah, I'm back after 2 weeks. Rainstorms and shit like that suck, but what are you going to do about it? At least my power's on, and I got home in time tonight from working out of town. So let's talk a little bit of wrestling. Apparently the McMahons are back. How do you guys feel about the McMahons returning to TV?
Oh, it's been interesting. It's been weird because it's like, on one hand, we can see the idea behind them being upset and trying to, you know, protect Triple H, but at the same time, is there a time we ever get to see the McMahons on WWE TV where they're not acting like total and utter douchebags?
Well, that begs the question. Maybe they act like that in real life. You never really can tell, can you?
Well, they don't seem that bad in other type of videos. It's just when you put them in the ring and suddenly they just go, oh, we have to be heels. No, you
there
don't.
You go. Yeah. Well, you know, with Vince McMahon, it's just a case of same old whoop-de-doo, no big deal. But having Steph actually appearing on television for more than, like, 30 seconds for the first time in how long? Lindsay, how did that go over for you?
It went okay, I was really happy to see her. It was very exciting as it was unexpected. But at the same time, she didn't... I'm kind of with me. She didn't sound like a concerned wife. She sounded really just kind of sort of whiny and bitchy.
So basically, she sounded like herself.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well,
she sounded like... She sounded like the McMahon character.
Yeah, I mean, it's
not,
like they're
not like an actual human being.
Yeah, they're out there and they're basically justifying the reason why Triple H isn't going to be wrestling tonight is because, well, they don't want him to collapse again, except, you know, Vince is being a dick and Steph is just being kind of bitchy. And it's like, you guys don't sound really concerned. It's like, you would think it's like, yeah, you're getting booed, but there's no need to be an asshole about it.
So they're not very convincing actors.
Not in this stage.
It's not the acting quality. Yeah, it's pro wrestling. I mean, you're not going to get Oscar-worthy performances from anybody.
Oh, that's true.
it's the fact that just the language they use and the approach they took is just, it's very easy. It'd be very easy to paint this in light, you know, where you could just, you could phrase it in a way where you would have sympathy for them. It's like, you know, this is the, you know, this is the father of my children. You know, I want them to grow up and, you know, have their dad, and he can let, you know, he can play with them. He can raise them, and I don't want him to be crippled, or it's just a writing thing, you know,
going through the motions as opposed to actually making you feel it as real.
No, it's not that. It's literally, it's just all in the language. You know,
Bad writing.
Yeah.
Basically.
Okay. As Omega was saying, you know, it's more, instead of coming out and saying, you know, I don't, you know, we're trying to avoid a major injury. As people know, head concussions are a big thing that the WWE try to protect against, you know, and as this guy is, as Stephanie's context would be, my husband, I don't want my kids growing up with our father, we don't want to see any tragedies happen, we're doing this in the best interests of health. Instead, she came out and said, I am a business person, this is a business decision, I'm also his wife and the mother of his children, but this is primarily a business decision, end quote.
Yeah, and also I think it would have been a little bit more effective if he had been there. Having him show up after the fact, backstage, this segment was good, but it would have been more, I guess, real feeling if he was there. And they were pleading this case to him rather than to the audience, because then you have the audience, as an audience, we're all sitting there watching this family drama, as we often do with the McMahons, play out on camera. Where it's no... Because then you can kind of sort of create the tension of, well, was it a business decision or was it a personal decision, and are personal feelings affecting the day-to-day operations of the business?
Well, do you think that if these guys had a director to coach them ahead of time, it might have helped with their delivery?
Sadly, I think they did.
Yeah.
That says a lot.
The other thing was, like, as it was said, you know, it would have helped if Triple H was in the ring at the same time. When he did show up, you know, he walks in the door, he kisses Steph, hi darling, how are you? And then all of a sudden, bang, she's in business mode. It was like watching an angry boss in a sitcom talk down to an employee. Like literally, I was basically watching somebody that was berating Triple H like he was a fucking 5-year-old child.
Uh-huh.
But from a business thing, it was like, I am your boss, I'm telling you, blah, 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 blah. No wonder Triple H got pissed off, or acted pissed off, and punched Vince in the face once he opened his mouth.
Well, here's the thing is...
But here's the thing. They play it up on SmackDown, and they call it a family drama. That's not a fucking family drama. That just looks like something you'd see in a business with a really bad boss in control. There's no real emotion. How are we supposed to invest in these characters? And if the characters won't invest in one another emotionally, like we know they can off screen.
Well, here's my question. As far as canon goes, doesn't Triple H technically outrank Stephanie as far as the TV power scale goes?
Technically, Vince is on top. Outranks Vince.
Because he's COO.
He outranks Vince. The only person that outranks Triple H is Linda McMahon.
So they really have no business telling him what to do. Because as far as I know, Stephanie doesn't actually have an official position in the company on screen.
On screen, he has no position, technically. Behind the scenes, yes, he is, like, well above everybody. But he never really got put back into a role from what I remember.
Well, I mean, you could always play it out where it's, you know, he's COO and he's also, or, you know, he's also been made VP of talent, because technically he is. he's over talent, so he can say, you know what, screw you, you can't tell me what to do, I'm over talent, and I'm talent. Because she's over creative and live events, I think. And then Vince is chairman, but...
I have no idea anymore.
Yeah, I don't know how many titles they hold, but I do know... Because I was actually thinking about that, because it's like, wait... On TV, Triple H is COO, Vince doesn't have any power anymore, and Stephanie has no official position in the company. As far as TV is concerned, she is just Triple H's wife, but even so, she's VP of creative. He still outranks her, so he can tell them both to pretty much F off.
But then there would not be any way of stopping him from getting into the ring and making Curtis Axel look really bad.
Well, then that's when you can do some more experimental or interesting things, like they go to the board, and they have the board stop him. Yeah. We got to see the board. We got to see the fancy-dancy boardroom when Paul Heyman went to WWE headquarters.
I thought that the memo went to everybody, including you, Lindsay. Don't use logic when you're talking WWE.
But that would be awesome. Like, Triple H goes on this mad power trip, and he gets called in front of the board of directors because he's gone crazy.
That's very reminiscent of Jericho and WCW when he was trying to get his TV title back, only instead of doing it the whiny, wimpy way, it's the power way. Pushy power way.
Personally, I think it'd be hysterical if the board of directors put in a vote of no confidence. Just everyone just walking out of the boardroom together.
Interesting. So, basically, it boils down to, we're not really certain that WWE used them correctly. The production kind of sort of missed the boat with this whole bit with the McMahons. Would you agree or disagree?
I don't think they really missed the boat. I think they they picked the wrong boat. It's like, it just feels like it's off to a rocky start, and they're really, they are really trying to salvage it with the video packages and whatnot. But okay. it's just one of those real shaky starts to a storyline.
Basically, if this was like a sitcom or something like that, we would probably say it was suffering from a lack of chemistry.
if this was a sitcom, I'd say the weather started getting rough and the tiny ship was tossed.
It also it feels rushed. They rushed it forward in the story.
Yeah, I just can't believe Omega invoked Gilligan's Island.
Hey, boats were brought up. I went with it.
And he's in Florida. He's by the sea.
Okay.
Kind of. But
eventually.
Well, when Florida sinks into the ocean, you'll be by the sea again.
All property in Florida is beachfront eventually.
But yeah, the whole thing kind of feels rushed, and they could have done it differently to where it came off better. Like, even if you have Vince come out and you have Vince take the heat for saying Triple H will not wrestle, and then you have Triple H show up and he's, you know, he and Vince are basically in a dick measuring contest, and then you have Stephanie come in and she pleads with him not to do it as the concerned wife. You know, think of the kids, think of the family, think of everything. Please don't do it. I can't bear to see that again. The kids can't bear to see that again.
Yeah, she needs to be the emotional crux of this storyline, and she isn't. She just doesn't come off as emotional at all.
So if Steph had shown a little bit more emotion, it might have come off a little bit better. And if it was switched out, that one part where Vince was all adamant about, you're not going out there, blah, 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 it would have been better.
Yeah.
Essentially. All right. Well, there, we've dissected that. Let's move on and talk about Curtis Axel winning again. He won over John Cena by countout this time, and then winds up pinning Chris Jericho on SmackDown, courtesy of the Paul Heyman swerve, where CM Punk's music was played halfway through the match. Is this guy getting over with anybody?
I like him.
He's showing promise.
You can
like
him.
That's about as far as I've got with him.
Okay, so
he's showing promise. He's working with the legacy of his family, which is a thing we've been wanting since day one. But he has yet to actually score a proper victory in my eyes. There's always been some sort of trick, like with the Jericho thing, with the music playing, distracting Jericho. That's okay. A win to Heyman, not Curtis.
Mm-hmm. It's a win to the tech booth, is what it is.
Yeah, that too. All of his matches on Raw, you know, Triple H had his concussion spell, so technically that's a DQ victory. The thing with, his count out with Cena. He has yet to show that he can follow up on his skills. His matches are really good against this higher caliber guy, but he can't get the clean win, or even just an actual dirty win, like, you know, foot on the ropes or holding the tights or something, mm-hmm. where he is the actual method of the pinfall victory.
Well, that's a bit of an old school way of having a heel go over the baby face without either one of them losing anything, and the heel gaining, as we like to throw the word around, heat with the audience. Is this a little bit too outdated of a way to do this, Mace?
Well, yes and no, because with the count-out victory over Cena, they even mentioned it on commentary. Oh, that's right, Curtis Axel is in the ring. They forgot about him. It's like the second these things happen, he disappears from people's memory. You need the heel to be involved so he gets the heat.
Yeah.
And, you know, he actually gets the heat, and people actually remember to boo him. Because his reaction has dropped a lot in the very short time since his re-debut.
Yeah. Okay. What's your opinion on it, Omega?
It's a shame to see how much talent the guy has and to see him booked this poorly. I mean, Mace is right. I mean, the way they're going about it, it's a old school way of getting heat on him, but it's such cheap heat that proves absolutely nothing. I mean, the crowd, you're meant to hate him just because he's getting these cheap wins and he's proclaiming these big wins, but, you know, that's not how to do it. Audiences don't respond to that cheap kind of false heat anymore. There's no real reason to hate him. He's just playing up a bunch of incidental victories he had no part in. You know, the crowd knows he didn't have any part in it. And these days, instead of going, oh, boo, you didn't actually win those, they just go, yeah, what else? It's a reaction of apathy, and the longer it goes, the worse it's going to get. You need some legitimate reason to actually take him seriously at some point. Eventually, he has to start winning things.
Like legitimately or heelishly or whatever, but he's got to do something on his own to get that,
Yeah,
victory.
I mean, from the first bell to the last bell, he has to be the only thing that beats his opponent.
Okay,
he can pull a dirty trick if he wants. He's the heel. That's what he's supposed to do. If he's the one doing it, fine. If Heyman's playing music to distract his opponent, that's not him doing anything.
This is true, yeah. No. Mace brought up that the fans are forgetting to boo him because, you know, all this other stuff's going on. He's out of the picture. Doesn't this sort of work detrimentally against what they're trying to do with the character, Lindsay, in your opinion?
Yeah, well, to me, he felt like an odd choice to put with Heyman, because everybody thought, I guess, they were going to go with somebody a little bit bigger. But, okay, fine, they've put him with Heyman, and it just... I can't tell if they're trying to push him, or they're trying to de-push Heyman.
Okay.
That, I mean, it's kind of the way that they're treating him, because it's like, he's like, oh yeah, you know, I'm Curtis Axel, I'm Kurt Hennig's son, I'm a third generation superstar. Yay, go me! But I can't win a match except by count out or, you know, Heyman, using Heyman, and oh yeah, you know, I get forgotten when Ryback attacks John Cena. It's like, it just, the way that they're booking it, it just, it's like they're half-ass booking it.
Okay, you can keep going.
And that's just how it feels, is that they're half-assing it a little bit. I mean, when they put him in that match with John Cena, it's like, okay, he's either going to lose or something else is going to happen with John Cena, because you are not going to have Curtis Axel pin John Cena, the WWE champion, in the middle of the ring on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
On his, like, what, second week?
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. So it just, it feels like by putting him as high as they are, they're kind of, if they're not trying to, you know, basically kill Heyman's buzz, they're setting him up for failure, basically.
Okay, well,
Keep going. I was just going to say, you could have probably started him a level lower, like, with a Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
And had him work back up to Triple H while all the family stuff is going on with Triple H. Meanwhile, you know, he's wrestling Jericho, because Jericho's somebody that you can put him with. They'll put together a really nice match. Jericho can take the losses, either DQ or clean pin, and it's not a problem until you build back up. Because the whole time you can have him on the mic going, well, you know, I beat Triple H by count out, or, you know, I keep beating Jericho and the greatest thing since sliced bread, because you don't have him doing that either.
Okay. Well, this is all coming across to me the way they handled Harry Smith. Or David Hart Smith, if you will, depending on how you want to look at it. You know, he's the son of a famous name that used to work in WWE. The old man had charisma and as well as talent, and was able to at least talk on the microphone. But he's not being used to do anything except further other storylines. And it makes me wonder how long before we see him get the Harry Smith treatment. In other words, enjoy Japan. We'll see you some time down the road.
You could switch out so many names. It's not only Harry that you could do it with. Do it with DiBiase Jr.
Well, yeah.
You could do it with Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
You know, unless your name's Randy Orton, I don't think there has been a successful next, you know, second or third generation superstar in that company.
Well, of all the ones you've named, I'd have to say Randy Orton is the most successful of all of those Johnny Come Latelys, I guess you could put it.
As I said, outside of, unless your name is Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that I think Henning has going for him that maybe some of those others don't is the fact that Triple H really, 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 really likes him, apparently. Like, really likes him, and he's been doing himself favors. He helped train The Rock, so The Rock's apparently got a high opinion of him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's liked backstage. He's liked in the office, and that will do good things for him. It's just the question of when we're going to see them, because they've held on to him for years. He's been Mike McGillicuddy for, what, 2-3 years now?
Mm-hmm.
Longer than that?
Easily.
And so they've had him, he's been on the main roster, he's been on Superstars, they've held on to him forever, they haven't done jack shit with him. So they're obviously now at least making an attempt, making an effort, so they see something. Maybe we're not seeing it yet, but there's something there that they're seeing that they want to bring forward. The question is can they book it properly for us to see it?
Oh, well, you know, you brought up Triple H really, really, really likes him, and I'm trying to quote you as you know, to the best of my ability here. Same scenario with Sheamus. Triple H really, really, really likes Sheamus, And as a result, he shot to the moon almost literally from day one, and he got that legitimate victory, albeit a heel victory, but he still got a legit victory over Triple H. Next thing you know, he's got the title almost practically immediately. Why is Sheamus accorded that courtesy and not, you know, McGillicuddy, Curtis Axel, whatever you want to call him?
Are they maybe building to that pin? I mean, would it be more monumental if he pins him on, if he gets that legit pin either on Triple H or somebody else on, well, I guess on Triple H at this stage, on Raw or on a pay-per-view?
Okay, that's a valid point.
To be honest, like, yeah, it's a very valid point, but I think the problem is that they probably had this grand plan for him, but due to Vince panicking because of all the sports finals and whatnot that's coming up, and pulling the trigger on the Triple H storyline early, we've seen all that sunk, like, very, very quickly. I think there was a grand plan for him, but it just seemed to go by the wayside because Vince panicked.
Can they recover it?
It's almost like they'd have
to walk away from him.
Yeah, they'd have to walk away from him for a month before they did something, and then it would have to be when they brought him back. Something extremely overwhelming, where he is a surprise entrant in some kind of fatal four-way for championship, and he winds up winning, just not as a fluke, but just cheats.
Not even that. They just need to find a way to legitimize his wins. You know, if you're gonna put him up against some of these guys, like you know, Cena and Triple H and all those type of guys, they need to find a way to make his wins look more along the lines of his doing than
Ryback coming out and distracting him, or Paul Heyman having CM Punk's music play, and you're exactly right. All that stuff is taken away from him, Mace.
Well, here's the thing. Do we think that when Punk comes back, provided he does come back at Payback, which I'm not entirely sure we'll see him, but say he does return at Payback, do we see Heyman's loyalty switch and he manages Punk and sort of walks away from McGillicuddy a little bit, and then that allows him to start to do his own thing? Or do we see Heyman stay with McGillicuddy? I know his name has changed, but I can't call him anything but McGillicuddy. It's been what I've been trained to do.
Curtis McGillicuddy.
It's weird with the name. Even the commentators still call him Kurt a lot of the time, if you notice. No.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they also call him Kurt Angle.
Yeah, I've noticed that too.
There was a slip there, wasn't there?
There was one time, yeah, they called him Curtis Angle. I'm like, wow, really?
Yeah, we've had... Really, how long? There was just this thing out where it revealed that Kurt Angle is about to be in TNA longer than he was in WWE. I'm like, and you still have that Kurt in mind.
Just goes to show, when you make an impact, you make an impact. Unintentional bad pun. Seriously, swear to God.
Ba-dum-ching. Reset the clock.
No, you can't reset the clock. Shut up. I'll tell you when you can reset the clock. Enough of this nonsense, for crying out loud.
Well, I have a question.
Yeah, fuck you too, Rock.
I have a question. Do we think that because he sort of flopped as Curtis Axel, do we think he's going to get maybe passed over when the Wyatt family shows up? Because they seem to be in line for the next big push.
Well, first of all, I don't think he sort of flopped as Curtis Axel. Again, like the Triple H. Yeah, I know. Great name. Can't pronounce it worth a damn. had a point here, something. So, like the whole Triple H storyline in general, it's just gotten off to a bad start. They need to work out a way to recover. The kid has skills. We can see it in the ring. We see it in his matches. He works extremely well. If he can just get over the whole Christian Bale Batman-style promo and just put on some actual brash arrogance, probably more in line with what his father did, then the kid's going to be looking at a bright future.
Yeah, but if you do that, how many people are going to be screaming copycat, even though he is Hennig's son?
You know what? Who gives a shit? If it gets him over, that then you do it.
Okay.
Everything is copied off of something.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of pulled that with Del Rio being the million peso man, but you know what? The guy is always in the world title picture now, so you know, if it works, it works.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, if it works, then do it. Damn it. Yeah. But as for
the Wyatts sort of taking away the spotlight when they debut.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's gonna happen, and it's well fucking deserved. I watch those guys. Those guys are the reason why I started watching NXT again.
It seems like the Wyatts go in a different direction than Curtis Axel. It was mentioned that he is one of Triple H's projects, so I don't think, no matter what, you're going to see him go away.
They need to come out to the electric guitar version of Dueling Banjos.
No, they need to come out to the music that Bray Wyatt is using now. It is creepy.
Oh, yeah. It's creepy as hell, and it works. And this is the smallest thing, but I'm so looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the two guys that are in the tag team. I know they've got different names that aren't actually Wyatt, but I can't.
Yeah, one of them's not Curtis, and the other one's not Axel.
Exactly. I look forward to them bringing out the rocking chair.
Yes.
So Bray can sit in it, just watching during matches.
Like I want to see them with the entrance, like do the whole the Swamp Thing with the entrance, and you like take down the lights, and you've got him in the spotlight. While sitting on the stage while they're having the match or something, I don't know. It'd be awesome. Sorry. I'm a little excited for the White family too.
I just like the fact that, you know, here it is. He's a manager, but all he does is really just sit in a rocking chair. I just find that it's a very, very small thing, but it's what makes you go, that's different, that's something I want to see.
And I think it's the look on his face, too, the way that, you know, he actually sells it. It's he's so good at this character. He really is.
As long as he doesn't do that masked fucking monster thing that he's doing in NXT.
I don't think they'll bring that up.
Keep the butcher's smock, but yeah, he's weird. If you haven't seen these guys on NXT, go grab a copy of NXT any way you can, whether it's YouTube, Hulu, or less legal means, and go and watch them.
did you just advocate less than the legal means? Holy
crap. No. We never do that on this network. Ever. We never advocate streaming. Ever.
You know what? Fuck that. If there's a way of you being able to get away with doing it, do it. We're not gonna tell anybody. There you go. And besides, I'm sick and tired of the hypocrisy. There are certain people out there who have gotten illegal streams while at the same time admonishing their listeners not to do what they do, which is, in my opinion, wrong. You shouldn't tell people not to do shit that you're doing. Unless, of course, you know, it's your kid and you're the mom or the dad. That's totally. But that being said, let's take a really quick look at Randy Orton here before we go to our first break. Some people actually watched SmackDown on Friday night, Mace.
No, I didn't. I didn't watch it on Friday night.
That's why I said your name facetiously.
I watched it 15 minutes before the show on Fast Forward.
Okay, there you go. Randy Orton delivered an RKO to Daniel Bryan at the end of their match. tag team match against who, Lindsay?
The Shield?
Yeah. And basically, Daniel Bryan wound up smacking Randy Orton in the face at one point in time in the corner. And Randy Orton retaliated by putting him in an RKO at the end of the match. So is this the beginning of a Randy Orton heel turn, or is it just another one of those random things where it's the Viper and, okay, you hit me in the face, I RKO'd you, we're even, let's move on.
Retaliation, I don't think it's a heel turn yet.
Oh. Yeah, it's not a heel turn. It's just Orton being Orton.
Yeah, heel turn would have been more Daniel Bryan didn't do anything, and Orton just RKOs him for the hell of doing it.
There you go. Omega, say something.
No.
There you go. You said something, so that's all that matters. Everybody, you're listening to WTR. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're going to take our first time out of the evening, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the
show. I don't have opinions.
And we're going to do everything we can to make Omega feel totally ignored for the rest of the night, even though we'll let him say one or two things. He just hung up on us. We'll be back right after this.
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on.
Why do you always get to end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're not the host of the show. Will is the producer. Shut up. Shut up. For the trunk, Rob Parks.
Why does Rob Parks do it? We waited forever for Rob to come back, and now you're not even going to let him have the outro?
Okay, let Rob.
Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William S. McConnell, and for, unfortunately, the lone jobber, and for the lone producer who doesn't do really much.
Oh, wait.
I am your host with the most, the godfather of extreme, Big... Wow. I insulted myself real bad. Wow. All right, when everyone was listening to that, forget about it.
Forget.
Wow. God damn it, jobber.
What I do?
Right. I'm Rob Buzz, your godfather tree, for whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was.
Ace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Live, midnight Eastern Time, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Spud. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
This is the franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday night, we bring to you The Rock.
These people yearn for enlightenment. Who do they have to turn to? Who do they have to place upon a pedestal so that they may bask in the glow of their own essence? In short, the answer is no one.
We bring you a complete recap of Impact Wrestling, along with all of the latest news and unique discussions about the world of professional wrestling.
Sure, there are those who attempt to appeal to the unwashed masses, but they are nothing more than false prophets whom I will expose.
Join us Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, for The Rock.
I am the bright beam of enlightenment that will serve as the avenging sword of taste and decency.
Redefining pro wrestling talk from the fans, for the fans, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're welcome!
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio. Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
And welcome back to WrestleTalk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And we're back with more Darkwing Duck. Again, because it's so awesome. Once again, thank you, Omega.
I don't even remember how I found that. I'm happy I did that.
I have no idea. Yeah.
Well, don't awesome things like that find you?
This is true.
So getting back into the swing of things, it seems that WWE has posted a new job listing on Friday for a Performance Center General Manager. According to the article, as I try to make sure I have all of it here. That's a lot to read. Damn you, Rock. The job listing also includes more details on the Performance Center. WWE plans on launching a talent review system later this year, which the GM would oversee. This is from the actual official listing. The Performance Center will give WWE the ability to train more potential performers than ever before through a comprehensive program including in-ring training, physical preparedness, and character development. Supervise the development and manage the day-to-day processes of WWE's talent review system that will be implemented in late 2013. The overall review process will entail working with senior leaders from Stanford and the WWE Performance Center on the execution of this biannual program focused on accelerating the development of Orlando-based stars. Also required money management, media training, and wellness education. So does this mean we're pretty much going to get guys coming up every 6 months, do you think?
Maybe.
If they could cycle it right, that might work.
Well, if nothing else, there's a filter in place now to where there's somebody who's going to be taking a look at the talent that's down there and checking their development and deciding whether they're ready to come up or not, so we don't get guys like Ryback, who have been down there for forever and a day, and the best that he can do is the Ryback character. Which is the fact that he has the personality of a carrot.
Interesting. I wouldn't even say he had the characteristics of a carrot, but yeah, okay. Do you think it's probably going
to
be...
No. This is wrong, because carrots have the ability to grow.
Oh, this is true. What doesn't grow?
He could be a potato.
He could be a brine shrimp. there's nothing to those things.
Sea monkey.
No, sea monkeys are entertaining.
Oh, God.
People like sea monkeys. Nobody likes a brine shrimp.
She does have a point.
This is true. She does. Yeah, no one would buy them if they were called freeze-dried brine shrimp.
Yeah, see?
Very true.
Except to feed fish. But...
Do you think that this is sort of the best way for these guys to do it? Do you reckon sort of posting a generalized Java application for something so specialized as professional wrestling is the best way to go about getting what they're going to call a general manager?
Yes and no, because I think they're going to have a filtering process for this one that's stricter than a lot of their other jobs, although they're pretty strict in their hiring sometimes. And it could be that they have somebody in mind, they're just putting it out there, because one, they have to, legally, but they already have somebody in mind for it, they just have to put the job posting out in the interest of fairness.
True. So who do you think would be ideal for this type of role? Omega.
That's a good question. Honestly, I'm kind of blanking on this.
As Rock's saying, maybe it's time to bring back Big Johnny?
Does he stay off TV?
Yes.
As long as it keeps him busy and off the air, I wouldn't complain.
Yeah, he would be an interesting one. He's still on the payroll. Maybe you use one of the road agents. Maybe Road Dog or Dean Malenko, Arn Anderson. Thoughts, Lindsay?
What about, like, JR? He was in charge of talent for many, many years, and he's responsible for quite a number of the superstars that from the Golden Age. Or... Yeah, I mean, Road Dogg would be good, or Billy Gunn would be good. I mean, yeah, it's gonna have to be somebody that's worked in talent or worked with talent before, either scouting or as part of management. My only trepidation with Big Johnny is that the girls would not get a fair shake at all. He's the reason why we have bikini models as wrestlers. So that's my only trepidation with Big Johnny. I would like to see somebody like maybe JR, or since Triple H is so keen on putting his friends into place, maybe somebody like Sean?
That'd be interesting. Only because you take them out on weekends for, you know, hunting lessons.
Well, you see... It starts to... The more you think about this, the more you kind of think, well, maybe it's not something one person handles. Or at least it doesn't feel like there should, because, you know, okay, JR is going to be more toward the old school. You know, Road Dogg's going to be more toward the new school. You know, if you want someone... If you want someone who's going to give the Divas a fair shakedown, you put in Fit Finlay.
That would be good.
It's hard to find one guy one person for the role that would actually be fair in every direction. So it almost feels like there should be a committee to this.
Well, y'all are gonna hit me, but I was also thinking maybe Taker.
Shock.
Shut up. You are all for Big Johnny, so just don't even go there.
Who's not all for Big Johnny?
But, like I said, you want somebody that's kind of down the middle, and Taker's got the old school and the new school mentality. And I think he would give everybody a fair shake, just given his reputation. Plus, if anybody knows about character development, he would.
It would be an interesting move for him, because at least that way he's still involved in the business, and, you know, he can always take his time and work slowly as he's training these kids.
Yeah, because I think he's got a house in either Tampa or Orlando or something. Another thought would be maybe Nash.
No, I wouldn't put Nash only because he'd fall over too often. Blow a knee too easily.
Yeah, does the job involve walking? Yeah. Not Nash.
They could never get him back, but Cornette.
Sorry, I'm like, my brain's going fuzzle all over the joint tonight. So do you think overall, sort of having, as you say, like, even if we go to the idea of a committee, is this going to bring a better quality of talent to the company rather than just, you know, a production line?
Well, that's always the hope anytime you do something like this, is that you're doing it to improve. The hard part is you really don't know until it's put into practice. I mean, I think more eyes on the product, more eyes on the project itself is, of course, going to help it.
I think if you can get the right filter there, the right person as GM that sort of lines up with Triple H's model of what he's wanting to do with developmental, I think it will be a good thing because, like I said before, this person basically serves as the filter as far as who goes up, who goes down, who even gets signed, really, if you think about it, who is coming into that training center. So they're going to be looking for a specific set that they want to bring into the company that, you know, possibly already have talent as opposed to, you know, trying to find it when it's not there. But this could be really, really good, or this could be really craptastic. I think it just depends on the person that gets hired for it. But it's going to have to be somebody Sorry, go ahead.
No. Finish your thought.
I was just going to say, it should be somebody that at least has wrestling business, or, of course, wrestling business, at least business experience in the wrestling industry, and somebody that understands really how wrestling is trained. Either they've gone through training school, so to have a former worker, or somebody that's run a training school. Again, probably a former worker. People that understand what it's like to go through that process.
So we're basically looking at people who have general business acumen, but also know the world of professional wrestling. So probably guys like Jim Cornette, Scott D'Amore.
Scott D'Amore would be good. I don't think they could get him.
They'd have to drag him away from Canada, but possibly. Well,
I haven't read the job position closely, but is it based in Orlando, or is it something where the person could
commute? It's based where they're doing their the training center that they're building. I can't remember if it is actually in Orlando or not. It's wherever they're putting this training center thing. So it's almost like they're looking for somebody to oversee the entire building plus all the training and stuff inside.
It might not be the best choice, but an interesting choice would be Heyman. If they could get him out of New York.
Oh, boy.
That means...
Just don't give him the check. That means...
No, but that's the thing. Part of the requirements of this job is money management.
I'm sure he's gotten better with it.
It's still Heyman?
I know. Well, here's the thing. Who runs NXT right now? Who's in charge of it? Is it still Ricky, or is it...
Ooh, that's a good question. I have no idea who's the minds behind NXT at the moment.
Let's see. To the Google.
To the Googles!
To the Googles! Let's see. I don't care about the championships.
Chances of actually finding who runs this would probably be near impossible, but yeah, sure. The King Kitten's going, see. Scott Barry should run it.
No. Let's see, your head trainer is Bill DeMott. Billy Gunn is a trainer. Brian Sexton is creative assistant. Canyon Seaman is senior
what?
Director of talent. I don't know. C-E-M-A-N. I don't know. I want to know.
I want to know what his time in school was like.
Well, you can call him and ask him. Dusty Rhodes, Gerald Briscoe, Jim Ross, Joey Mercury, Matt Malarto, Norman Smiley, Ricky Steamboat, Rob Naylor, Robbie Brookside, Sarah Del Rey, Steve Kern, Terry Taylor. So honestly, you know, you could have some of the trainers potentially be promoted up into that position if you really wanted to, because you've got a lot of really good, solid business sense there. And if you wanna talk, no, I should not run it. Me running me the GM of over wrestlers is a bad idea.
Yeah, they
really
never get actual
bad.
Training done. Their only training would be get Lindsay off me.
Yeah, pretty much. I'd be hanging off of them constantly. Bad
yeah.
thing. Bad. But if you want to talk about a committee, you could do possibly Dusty, JR, and for the girls, Sarah Del Rey.
Hmm. Yeah, it seems like the idea should be the committee and probably, like you've been saying, the trainers that they've got there could be promoted. Because it's almost sounds too much for a single man to handle, or woman to handle.
Be realistic, it's going to be a man.
Sorry, I'm trying to be, you know, politically correct and all this gender-neutral BS we're supposed to do these days.
It's WWE, and Triple H is head of this project. It's going to be a man. Okay? There are just certain things I've come to accept in life. It's even remotely WWE-related. The hiring will be a man.
Well, good thing we went down that route. So let's turn from sexism to racism in WWE. Supposedly.
Oh, sweet. I want to play more cards.
Sorry, we were studying. I had to read a whole bunch of feminist literature today. Sorry.
And you're still able to function?
Yeah, it hurt my head so much.
And yet you still accept a man will be put in charge of WWE.
Yep, because I know
better. You learn nothing.
You know, because I just capitulate to men so well. I just let them tell me what to do.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
I'm not even going to touch that.
So anyway, racism in the WWE. Say it ain't so.
Well, this is the thing. I don't really think it is, even reading this article. It seems that a WWE creative team member did an interview for another podcast and discussed his time in the WWE. So instantly, I'm sort of sitting here going, disgruntled employee. He cites that several instances of racism, including the treatment of stars like Kofi Kingston, are rampant in the WWE. And this is a quote. Kofi is a great example. He's a guy who really blew up, and I thought, this guy is going to climb the ladder. It's going to be automatic. And then they took a detour. You can always say, maybe the guy got in trouble in the locker room. Maybe something came up with a contract. Maybe something came up about his attitude. Maybe it was bad booking. But you see this across the board. Vince was considering Mark Henry to be the guy who ended the Undertaker's streak at WrestleMania 22. They certainly do hire a lot of African Americans, and they want to hire more Latinos. It's just that they aren't the guys that they put in those positions. The ratio of success speaks for itself.
Yeah, because the last two Mexicans they hire sure didn't become world champions. Oh, wait.
Yeah, you know. Because, you know, Rey Mysterio was never a world heavyweight champion and a star, you know. Mark Henry never won the belt and became, you know,
Get it right. Rey Mysterio was only a world champion, not a world heavyweight champion. Get it right.
Racist!
Yeah, it's racist because they changed it due to the weight of the champion.
And where's Sin Cara's title? Huh? Racist.
Where's Sin Cara's title?
It's in the trash bin with his career.
He has the title of most trips to the hospital.
It got botched. They sent it back.
And yeah, so racism in WWE exists, you know, because we never see a black man as a world champion. Wait, no, Mark Henry's held the belt multiple times. Kofi Kingston's held the U.S. and Intercontinental and tag titles.
I really don't like that comparison in the first place, just because Kofi only kind of bottomed out because he really couldn't carry himself in a storyline. It really had nothing to do with the guy's talent or anything. Like, I just didn't see racism there. I just saw, you know, Kofi had moments of promise, but nothing concrete.
Well, I think you could argue that at least maybe 5 years ago, 5-10 years ago, WWE was not as diverse as it is now. But I don't think it's, and this is just from what we see, we don't hear what goes on backstage, but it doesn't feel racist. Although I will say that there are phases where it's the I'll put it like this, non-white characters are pushed in like groups. And then they're kind of dropped, and then they're pushed in groups again, and then they're kind of dropped. But that could just be coincidence.
Another example of how wrong this quote is, didn't we just have a Samoan have, like, the biggest title run for a whole 3 months? Had the spotlight for a year, headlined 2 WrestleManias in a row, even though he was actually undeserving of it.
And they gave him a new belt.
Yeah. Because they're trying to keep that Samoan down.
Could it be they need different writers, they don't have the right writers to write for the ethnic groups?
Well, let's see. I don't know. How about we ask the Mexicools what they think?
I just think this guy's opinion comes out more on the lines of sour grapes and looking to nab a headline than an actual problem, because he's saying that there's all these issues with these guys, yet we can sit here and cite many times they've been champions, had main event style storylines, you know, had the spotlight on them. So I don't think it's, you know, this isn't the NWA where racism was blatant for many, many years. Mm. You know, this isn't the good old boy era of WCW. Even though they were the ones who had the first black world heavyweight champion. But, you know, it's one of these things of, like, trying to take this thing that's not really an issue anymore and trying to make it an issue. You know, because the next thing from this guy is all about Vince being a homophobic. But, you know, sure, there's not really any gay characters in the WWE.
There are none.
Yeah. they had the implications of them with the Billy and Chuck thing and Rico and all that. But that was during a time when all those groups were really looking down on the WWE. But do we really need every single group to be sitting there and going, you must do this? You know, do we need to have a wrestler in a wheelchair now? You know, we have to represent the disabled lobbies.
Oh, hey, Zach Gallen's not working anymore.
Yeah.
And to cover all your bases, you need a midget in the wheelchair.
A one-legged midget in the wheelchair who's...
We're sorry, Hornswoggle. You're going to have to fall down some stairs.
Yeah. Poor Hornswoggle's going to have to go through a lot of life changes in order to make everybody happy. You know.
Well, he is a McMahon, so...
Yeah, true. I think this guy pretty much makes a mountain out of a molehill that doesn't even really need to be looked at. It's like there's not enough African Americans being world champions, yeah, except for, you know, The Rock, Mark Henry. Kofi's had quite a few belts, you know. Do you want us to go through the fucking history?
This week in racist history.
Yeah, no shit.
Black History Month right here in June.
Yeah, instead of February. You know, and then, like, this is the thing. I haven't even gone into the stuff he says about the homosexuality. Because, frankly, we've had the same type of thing recently pop up here with an Australian football guys being racially abused by fans and also club presidents as well. It's taking something, it's called casual racism, and turning it into this gigantic issue that doesn't really need to be there.
Right.
Yes, education, fine, you know, but you take the tiniest little area, like one or two idiots who racially abuse or something like that, and blow it up to this gigantic scandal instead of, okay, why don't you talk to this person, educate them, move the fuck on.
Mm-hmm.
That's all this idiot ex-writer for the WWE has done.
So, basically, at the end of the day, we can say it's the Jews?
Yes. When in doubt, the Jews.
When in doubt, blame Jews.
Yep. So, in the end, do we think the WWE is racist?
For the sake of argument, yes.
No more racist than a friendly card game.
Held right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Okay. I can't really refute that because some of the stuff we do. Yeah. Yeah. It's a pot kettle.
you say we're black? Oh, God.
You're also disabled and a midget in the wheelchair.
Well, I think you also have to kind of look at...
Yeah, so someone also has to be gay around here. I'm looking at you, Lindsay.
Okay. Whatever. Bring me AJ Lee. I think you also kind of have to look that the term racism is thrown around a lot today in our nice, wonderful PC world. So I think some people sort of don't understand the true meaning of racism. Just a thought.
I'll agree with that.
Is Lioness going to tell us? It's just mental image just popped into my head the way you phrase that.
Well, it's just a lot of people, pretty much anything you say, if you really try, could be construed as racist. I mean, I'm sure there's somebody listening to this conversation right now going, oh my God, they're being racist. They're totally wrong. It's just, in today's world, I think that's an easy word for people to throw around. Because it's no matter what, it's going to get headlines. And I agree with Mace in the fact that I think he's just trying to grab attention, that's all.
Indeed. So do we want to continue on, or do we need a break?
The producer says break.
The producer says break, so we're going to a break.
Well, the producer says so.
He's in control at the moment.
I am always in control. You should realize this.
Yes. So we'll be right back here on WrestleTalk Radio. Keep listening. We'll be back, hopefully being funny after this.
Pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
The following interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once.
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you
the home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and, of course, WWE superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you. You're welcome!
And now, haiku time. With René Dasogai and some dumb Aussie git.
Cheap Heat Radio. Not at all ripped off. Truly, we would never lie.
Opinions mixed. Many arguments will be had, but Lita is a slut.
Wild Talk Radio. Home of Cheap Heat Radio. Inside Braden's belly.
Views expressed within, only those of guy talking. Standard boilerplate.
Got an indie show? Promote it on our show now. Many more people.
Wrestling gets discussed. Pop culture references made. Cheap Heat Radio.
Cheap Heat Radio. Our thoughts may not be true, but your sports team does suck.
We need ad ideas. Haikus are running their course. Next time the hosts rap.
Cheap Heat Radio. Join us at 8:30 time. Cause what else is on?
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns,
after 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moment. And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
And welcome back to Wrestle Talk Radio once again, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What the fuck was that?
Spaggy's theme song from somewhere in Japan.
There's a techno version of that song?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I am terrified. Burn it! Kill it with fire!
Apparently it's going to a fire, burn it, death, yeah.
Immediately!
It's a song that exists. I was trying to go with whatever Mace was picking. Sort of, kind of. I don't know.
Never
yeah,
again.
Except you missed the what the fuck mindfuck one. That
we played it. It just didn't, you know, thing. Yeah, anyway.
No reaction. Mm. That's awesome.
Sorry.
No reaction to that one. We went to yeah. Anyway, welcome back, everybody. This is WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, presented by PW Mania and MemLanePromo.com. If you don't know, now you do. I had this discussion with Lindsay earlier today, and it sort of makes its way onto this show. Who are the top five performers currently in wrestling, Mace?
In wrestling as a whole, mm-hmm. or...?
In wrestling as a whole. You can qualify it any way you want. Do you want to go WWE and TNA together? You know, who right now, in general, top
no,
five?
No.
Top
no.
five, I said in general.
No, he has to do WWE and TNA together because you made me do that. And then put them in order, and you almost got smacked earlier today. So you have to make them do it like you made me do it.
All I asked you were the top five, and you gave me 10, so I made you do more work. Just pointing that
still.
Out. Still. Still, I asked for five, you gave me 10.
I split them into companies.
All I asked for was five. Anyway. Told you we would bring back the humor. Welcome back. It's amazing.
Top five in wrestling.
In wrestling.
Let's see. I'd probably... CM Punk.
Okay.
Bryan Danielson.
Mm-hmm.
Austin Aries, Christopher Daniels, and finalize it with Jessica Havoc.
Interesting. Any reason for that particular order?
Has to do with popularity.
Mm-hmm.
Also with in-ring performance and how much in-ring time they have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you know the top three there, Punk, Danielson, and Aries, all Ring of Honor graduates. All three known for their excellent in-ring work with just about anybody on the fucking planet.
Right.
Daniels gets in there because he combines athleticism, in-ring skill, and just general charisma and awesomeness.
and Havoc, because she's still the best women's wrestler out there at the moment.
Okay. Jed Schaefer chimed in with a list. He uses Daniel Bryan, Bully Ray, Dean Ambrose, Kevin Steen, and Dolph Ziggler. And number five is being threatened by Bray Wyatt. So I throw it to you, Lindsay.
Well, since I had to scroll up in our conversation earlier today to find the list... Because, you know, stupid me didn't think I was going to be on the show tonight, so I didn't write it down.
Well, you should know better by now.
Yeah, I should. I've got The Shield, Brian, AJ, Bad Influence, and Bully.
Explain why you went in that order.
Mainly it's how entertained by them I am, how much I like them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just really, obviously, for everything really high on The Shield and Daniel Bryan right now, also AJ.
Mm-hmm.
Bad Influence rocks my socks, and Bully is just a fantastic asshole. It's more of how they've come across to me and how entertained I am by them,
mm-hmm.
rather than wrestling ability, because I'm not a trained worker, so I can't tell an arm bar from an arm grab. Seriously?
Just everything's an arm bar, according to Chris Jericho, so...
Everything is an armbar, and he invented it, damn it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
All 574 of them.
Yes.
So, Vincent Melendez on Twitter chimed in with Ziggler, Shield, Angle, Hernandez, and Austin Aries. Surprised by Hernandez on that list, so I throw it to you, Omega.
A big TNA fan by the sounds of it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see. This is, I will fully admit, this list is hideously unfair, since I have absolutely no TNA viewing experience, at least in the last few years.
Except for pay-per-views.
Like I said, I've got no viewing experience for TNA.
Team player, yes. Anyway, your list.
My list right now is... Dolph Ziggler, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Chris Jericho, and Dean Ambrose.
Hmm. One common name that's being thrown around is Daniel Bryan. Is he the best right now?
He's getting up there.
Well, considering my... considering my number one and two are out right now...
Right.
Bryan has stepped his game up. Like, I'm not a fan of the weak link thing that he's been going on with, because it seems like a really weird twist to have for someone who's, you know, been a WWE champion.
Right.
Or at least a world champion and competed for the WWE title. He's had it more recently than Kane, let's put it that way.
By a few months, yeah.
Plus, to sort of follow up on Omega's thing, while this weak link thing doesn't work, you want to know the reason why it doesn't work? Because he fucking stands out in every match he's been in lately.
That's the thing. That's what I was getting at. The
it's
weak link
It's a contradiction.
Thing. Well, it's him going out to kind of prove himself, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's... kind of driving him to kind of just throw himself, literally throw himself into the matches a lot more. And it's, you know, it's Bryan working the pace we know he's capable of working in, except now there's a motivation to it. There's a reason behind it. It might be a misguided one, but it's working out. It's letting him shine a lot.
Right. So basically, you are sort of in agreement. He is on the rise to being the best in the company or in the business right now?
He's on the move.
Okay.
It all depends on how they handle him from this point forward. Because everywhere he goes, he's over.
Right.
So it's just a question of how they build him from here. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I would say in the next couple months, put a belt on him. You know, the big shiny one that John Cena has.
The one that used to spin?
One that used to spin. Put that on him. Because he could probably carry it, and carry it well.
And if he were to carry it, what would be his side plates?
A goat? A dragon?
Maeus Omega?
Dragon goat.
Dragon goat.
A little thing saying yes, yes, yes on one side and no, no, no on the other.
Most likely that's probably what it'd be. Unless it's that stupid ring logo they have for him. Never been a fan of it.
Ring logo?
Yeah, if you look at the back of it, yeah. The one that has a name. Yeah. So, those are what we think. If you have different opinions, please email us, mediawildtalkradio.com, and we'll discuss them with you at a later date. Right now, though, it's time for the roundtable.
This would be the roundtable. Anthony Dancing Roundtable. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun. With no intro. Dun, 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 dun.
On Friday night on SmackDown, they announced that this coming Monday, we will know who Caitlyn's secret admirer is. So, it's time to make the predictions. Who is Caitlyn's secret admirer? Mace.
I'm going to go with Natalya.
Okay.
Most of the time, well, you take a look throughout most of the storyline, which has played out on, like, SmackDown. Mm-hmm. Anytime something arrives, Natalya's right there the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she's sort of sitting there and secretly getting gauging the reactions. Plus, it creates this weird love triangle thing between Natalya, Kali, and Caitlyn, which I'm quite sure they'd love to run with on SmackDown.
Yeah, because in my weird head, I thought, oh, it's going to end up being Kali. What do you think, Lindsay?
I'm going with Big E.
Just because of Twitter?
Just because of Twitter, but also they've been kind of sort of teasing a split between Big E and AJ. So I think they're getting ready to break him away from her and Ziggler and put him out on his own. And also, it would be a very interesting dynamic with AJ being the number one contender for the Divas title if Caitlyn has Big E as her heavy and then AJ just has Ziggler in her corner. So how those four would fix together.
So Omega's heard them say Natalya and Big E, where do you stand?
I think it's herself, the attention-grabbing whore.
Really?
Honestly, this has been so far in the background for me, I have not even noticed how. You know, I didn't pick up on Natalya. I don't know who they've been speculating. I know the writers have been flip-flopping on what they want to do with it.
Right, but you remember, they've had Great Khali go, you know, in disguise to the locker room to try to find out. In a Rey Mysterio mask.
Yes, because I'm sure that worked out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, it did. Because, you know, big man in mask.
I want to know how they found one to fit his head, personally.
That's a good question. So you think it's her?
I honestly, no. See, at this point, since I haven't paid any attention to this storyline,
mm-hmm.
I'm just going with the absolute dumbest thing they could do for a solution.
Well, to bring logic to your solution, if you remember back to the first part of the story where it was the gift, it was, you know, sort of matching what she was already wearing.
Well, she took it off that day, stuffed it in a box, and
sent it to herself, yeah. There's logic to your reasoning for you.
Please don't add credibility to my batshit angle.
How is she texting herself?
She could, you know, who says she's actually texting anyone? She could just be writing in her phone.
No, you can tell when you're sending a text and when you got a text.
Alright, then.
This is WWE acting.
This is WWE acting, and, you know, well, she could, you'd be, you know.
She sends them on delay through the WWE app.
There you go.
There you go.
Wait, they have an app? What? That's new.
Well, I know ESPN has a hockey app according to CM Punk.
Yeah. That was funny.
It was tremendous.
So tomorrow night we will find out if Omega is indeed correct or if Mason or Lindsay have it nailed. But we'll find out then. Right now, it's time for everyone's favorite game, Buy or Sell.
I think we need a little question and answer time.
It's now time for this week's edition of Buy.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Or sell?
No! 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 No!
So, buy or sell. Up first, Rampage Jackson signed with TNA. Buy or sell, Omega?
Sell it. Sell it, bury it in a New Mexico desert, and forget about it.
Right. Why?
MMA fighters have never worked in pro wrestling.
Ken Shamrock did.
MMA fighters have never worked in pro wrestling.
Brock Lesnar has.
MMA fighters have never worked in pro wrestling. Brock doesn't even count, because that was like... That was his third attempt at making a career out of beating people up.
So no go on Rampage?
No.
Lindsay?
I'm going to buy it.
Why are you going to buy it?
They did a really nice job with it on Thursday. And the fact that they're starting him out with Angle... will help.
Mm-hmm.
Because they sold him like a legit badass when he came out. And that stare down, there was heat there. And I want to see how those two put together a match, whether it's worked or whether it's real or it's a little from column A, a little from column B. I still kind of want to see it.
Okay, I didn't know they started with Kurt Axel.
Yeah. Go back and watch the segment if you can find it on YouTube. It's those two. Yeah.
TNA Hall of Famer Kurt Axel.
Mm-hmm.
Mace, buy or sell.
Surprisingly enough, even though they've already started this, sell.
Why?
Because it's just a media grab. That's all this is. It's a way for TNA to once again try and go, hey, look at us, we're bringing in this big guy that everybody's actually heard of. And it's going to do absolutely nothing for the ratings. I'm not looking forward to, you know, Curtis Axel versus Rampage Jackson. Because, well, I have yet to see any recent MMA fighters make a transition into professional wrestling and actually be successful without looking like a complete utter fucking moron. And, you know, considering that Jackson looks like a fucking moron anyway, with his big chain, yeah, to make him look like even more of a moron, well, yeah. I don't think it's gonna work. That's all.
Buy or sell, wanting to read the autobiography of WWE Hall of Famer Sonny. Lindsay.
Sell it, burn it, bury it. Do not want.
Omega?
I'm going to sell it, but I do want someone to tell me specific snippets, like how the fuck her brain works.
So we're not going to get TJ Reviews Sonny's autobiography?
No.
Damn.
About as likely as another teriyaki review.
But her breasts are made of plastic, doesn't that count?
No.
Mace.
Let's see. Unless it actually includes her time when she's constantly fucked up on cocaine, her excuses for stalking the fuck out of her ex-boyfriend, her experiences in the last several times she's been in jail, and if it actually treats her like she the fucking bitch that she is, I'll buy it. But considering it's not going to contain any of that, I'm going to go officially with sell it. However, if the publishers want to send us a free copy, I'll review it.
What a shameless whore he is, folks. Shameless.
Tell me what was going through her brain the sixth time she broke into her boyfriend's house.
Coming soon to an edition of Bashing the Books.
Like, that's all I really want to know is how the fuck her brain... Like, I want to know if, like, every break-in is its own chapter, and if it's just copy-pasted, and that's how she finished writing it so fast.
Say, there's a reason you need to buy the book, then.
No, I don't need to buy it. I just need to read someone's review on it.
Buy or sell TNA, moving back to just using Mike Tenay and Taz as their commentary team. Omega.
Bye.
Why bye?
Because I don't even remember what the other guy's name is.
Todd Kennelly.
Well, here's all I ever discovered about the guy. TNA doesn't need three announcers.
Mace.
Bye. I've never been a fan of the three-man commentary team outside of... Well, not even outside of... including WCW. I never liked the three-man announce team. Mm-hmm. Because it just got too cluttered.
Okay. Lindsay.
Buy it. Just shut up and take my money. Just buy it.
Well, there you have it. You now move on to WWE Payback Pick'em. You know the rules. Send us your picks, and you can win free stuff, courtesy of menlanepromo.com. Send picks to media@wildtalkradio.com, twitter.com/wildtalkradio, or on the Facebook at facebook.com/wildtalkradionetwork. Or put them in our little fancy-dancy chat, which you do go to by just clicking the chat button, even though Scott Barry had a hard time finding our chat.
Well, that's because he was using Chrome.
Yeah, people shouldn't, yeah. Anyway, it's better than using Internet Explorer. So, here we go. We got three on the board so far, and we'll probably have more as the week goes on. Most likely tune in direct Thursday at 11 p.m. Eastern when we have the full entire card. Start from the bottom, work our way up. Chris Jericho, CM Punk. Lindsay.
This probably will change if Punk shows up Monday, but I'm going with Jericho via countout because Punk no shows.
Mace.
Jericho. Punk's not going to show.
So that's two for that. Omega.
Going to be three. No decision. Because Punk no shows.
CM Punk wins. We move along. Intercontinental Championship triple threat match. Wade Barrett takes on The Miz and Fandango. Omega.
Doesn't matter. None of them would get pushed as the champion anyway. I'm going to give it to The Miz only because, dear God, get the belt off of Barrett. Because it's doing absolutely... His losing streak... Because at the very least, Miz actually has a little bit of weight to him and a little bit of heat and popularity to him. Mm-hmm. Barrett is just there. And his losing streak is dragging that belt down so fast.
Is that possible?
Believe it or not, he's managing it.
Okay, we move on to Lindsay.
I'm going with Fandango. he's the hot one in that feud. He's the one that they're wanting to push. They're not interested in Barrett, clearly. They're not interested in Miz, clearly. So Fandango, as far as I know, is still Vince's boy. So I say he gets the belt.
I'm in agreement with Lindsay. Fandango, Mace.
Fandango.
Any reason why?
Because he's the stupidest pick, and that's what they're going to go with.
Alright. WWE Championship is on the line. Three stages of hell. First fall, lumberjack match. Second fall, tables. And third fall is the ambulance match. John Cena takes on the Ryback. Mace.
Superman!
Omega.
Dun, 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 dun.
Lindsay?
The concession stand, followed by the restroom, followed by the drink vendors.
And who wins?
Cena. They're not going to give that belt to Ryback.
Alright, tie-breaking question. Yeah, I'm going with Cena as well. Tiebreaker, who wins the first fall?
Ryback.
Ryback.
Because Cena has to overcome the odds.
Mace.
Yeah, Ryback.
Some tiebreaker.
Some tiebreaker. fuck it. I'll go John Cena just to be different. So there you go. We'll have more pick-ems as the week goes on because they've only announced three matches. So tomorrow night we will get every other match on the card.
Maybe.
You would hope. Because we'll probably get the answer if Ziggler is wrestling on the pay-per-view. We'll probably get the answer of a Divas title match, and we'll get the answer of what Randy Orton, Kane, and Daniel Bryan and The Shield are doing. If it's together or not. So, that's Pick'em. Again, send picks to media at wildtalkradio.com. Follow us on Twitter at wildtalkradio to send your picks. And do it on the Facebook page at facebook.com/wildtalkradio network. Picks be in by Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern.
It was like the fastest Pick'em ever.
There were three matches. It's not my fault. They can't book out a show that quick. Or, you know, that long beforehand. So, anyway, moving on. Great debate.
Welcome to this week's Great Debate. Join the host as they debate the greatest WWE champion of all time.
When that bell rings and the match is over, you are looking at the next WWE champion, and that's the Bobby Stone Cold Sexy.
This belongs to me, and this you earn. With blood, with sweat, with tears, and for 428 days, I have done just that. I have earned this. I have earned the right to be called champion. I have earned the right to be the man.
Now, step into the ring with us for this week's Great Debate.
Up first, John Cena takes on Psycho Sid Omega.
Really?
Really.
You know what? I won't say much good about Cena, but at least he can safely jump off the top rope.
Yes, so. But if you're making that reference, this is for WWE title, not WCW. So,
had nothing to do with the title.
Just saying, you should keep all your references and jokes WWE, not WCW.
Okay, I'm sorry. God.
Yes, I am. Thank you very much.
Jeez. I didn't know the humor had to be brand loyal all of a sudden.
Did you know that? I thought you read the contract.
Contract?
Yeah, it's in the very fine print. Get a magnifying glass, you'll be able to see it.
The Jews.
yeah, they're the ones who write the contracts, so.
Yeah, it's Cena.
Lindsay.
This is stacked worse than the card on Sunday. Of course it's Cena. Who's going to pick Sid? Seriously.
Well, it's Cena. Well, someone had to go up against Cena.
I know, but to his credit, Cena has at least been a credible champion. And one of the most visible champions that they have had in many, many years. Mm-hmm. And he has done a lot of good. And a lot of bad, but a lot of good as champion. So I have to go with Cena on this one.
Mace, I challenge you to make a reason for Sid to win.
You just broke him.
I know.
Hey, we finally have a WWE writer on the show. See? It was on the same brand. That's all, folks.
So Mace is a monkey smoking a cigar now?
Mm-hmm. I got nothing. You put the words Sid and Credible in the same sentence and my brain exploded.
Pretend he said Sid versus just Incredible. That's what I'm doing.
That doesn't even work.
It works better than Credible Sid.
I'm sure there was a reason why he was some sort of champion. Did he...
He was tall.
He had blonde hair.
Oh, there was a lot of tall champions in that era.
But only one had blonde hair, so that's why he was champion.
He was their job to take her.
Thinking... That's right, he jobbed to take her, so that doesn't help him. So, yeah, Cena, because... Can't think of a reason for it.
At least I broke your brain. That makes it all worth it. Triple H versus Batista. Lindsay.
I have to go with Triple H just because I like him better. I'm sorry. Batista was really just... Yeah.
He was just Batista.
He was just Batista. There was really no substance to him at all. At least Triple H is, you know, got that long, storied, historic career, and then Batista is just Batista, so.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Triple H for Lindsay Mace.
Yeah, Triple H. Because Batista was just a warrior ripoff.
Alright, now to break Omega's brain, Omega, make a credible case for Batista beating Triple H.
Because Triple H got all of his championships by fucking the boss's daughter.
We don't know that Batista didn't do that, too.
He did that to everybody else. That's why he's not as popular.
Yeah, at least according to his book.
So you're going with Hunter, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
The credentials kind of sell that one.
Oh, okay. So, that's this week's Great Debate. Next week on the Great Debate, it is Ric Flair taking on Y2J Chris Jericho.
Oh, god damn it.
And the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels takes on the Legend Killer Randy Orton.
Well, at least one of them's easy.
Well, you'll be here next week to answer it, so it's time now for Quick Hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio Quick Hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous,
and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hit.
And we're going to start with Lindsay Ward. Lindsay, if you could be a part of any fairy tale, what fairy tale would you be a part of and why?
Because you're so addicted to Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, I hit you.
Did you cry when Graham died? Just curious.
No, I did not.
If I could be a part of any fairy tale, what would it be and why? Cinderella. It's always been one of my favorites.
Just because it's one of your favorites?
And because you get a really awesome pair of shoes.
It's always about the shoes, isn't it?
It's always about the shoes. Who wouldn't want glass slippers? Come on.
There you go. Mace, why do you never hear skinny people saying, "I'm just small boned"?
Because they're too busy going into a fucking toilet.
Nice reasoning. I'll take it. I'll take that one. Okay, Omega. At what age do you think it's appropriate to tell a highway it's adopted?
It's not really something you can determine by age. You really have to make sure that the highway is emotionally stable. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm trying to work in puns about, you know, traveling through life, but it's every pun I can make is just awful.
Well, make one.
No.
Come on.
I have standards.
Oh, screw your standards.
Fine, Megan has bad puns. We'll keep them to himself.
Yeah, you.
Come on, we haven't had a bad pun in a while. Come on.
I don't think you tell the highway it's adopted until it's. Not until at least it's about 6 lanes wide. Make sure it's grown and mature.
Okay. That works. Lindsay, when a porn shop owner gets married, does he accidentally tape over his porn with his wedding footage?
Only the bad porn.
Only the bad porn.
You know, like the 99 cent bin porn? Because, you know, he can afford to get rid of that.
So that's what he uses. Okay.
Unless he's marrying the porn star, and then he just makes his own.
Well, there you go. Mace, do you think friends of Edward Scissorhands ever throw him, throw in a paper once in a while to make him feel good?
The Jews.
It was just a yes or no question. It's not for the Jews.
Everything is for the Jews.
Damn it. I don't know. Do you really want to throw Edward Scissorhands anything? It's not like you can get it back in one piece.
Water balloons. Just think of throwing water balloons at him. That'd be awesome.
Oh, the poor bastard to rust. This is being mean, Lindsay.
Sorry, I'm a mean, horrible person.
Well, yeah, that we find out on Saturday nights, but besides the fact.
Well, I figured y'all already knew that.
Yeah, true. It's like you saying Omega has an evil twin. I'd hate to meet that one. Considering how mean and evil Omega is in reality.
I was going to say, if Omega does have a twin, which one is the evil twin? Is it our Omega, or is it the other Omega?
It's whichever one, you know, likes My Little Pony.
Notice he's staying silent.
Yeah. Does he know something's up for him next?
I'm just curious where this is going to go.
Well, do you have an evil twin or not?
Now, if I said yes, you wouldn't know which one it was, if it was the evil one talking or the good one. And if I said no, you just assume I was the evil one trying to trick you.
Well, is there a good twin, or are you both evil?
Yes.
Okay, now for his actual question. So, Omega, which would you rather see Chris Jericho as? A French maid, a stripper, or a sailor senshi?
Just before I answer, do you even understand what that third one was?
No, but that was given to me from, you know who.
I explained it to you. You know what it is.
I forget.
It has to do with Sailor Moon.
Ah, that's right.
You should know, Senshi means warrior. Loki only drilled it into our heads for like 4 months before they fired him.
Anyway, what would you rather see Chris Jericho as?
Sailor Senshi. It would make me laugh forever.
Now, the bigger question is, have you seen Chris Jericho as the French maid?
Unfortunately.
Okay.
All I can say is I hope he was getting paid or working charity.
It's apparently part of a web series he was doing. I think it was called I Am Chris Jericho or something along those lines. That's to come out at some point. So look forward to seeing Chris Jericho as the French maid and other things coming soon. At some point. Maybe next year. So anyway, that's the show. It's where we, you know, plug everything. Tomorrow night, Raw Pro Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Myself and Ward, 3 hours of Raw, condensed down to 45 minutes Tuesday night. It is Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. With Alan Wojcik on the program, he'll be speaking to Nick Jackson of the Young Bucks, the promoter of FWE and their tag team champions. Tune in 9 p.m. Eastern Wednesday night. It's Cheap Heat Radio with Scott Barry and Matthew Forsina. Thursday night, it's The Rack with Lindsay Ward.
Yes, tune in for Payback Pick'em. For TNA Impact, for news, for notes, for discussions, for Question of the Night, and Magic 8-Ball. Tune in. Listen, 11 p.m. Eastern, Thursdays. Go.
Yes.
Now.
Yes, it happens on Thursdays. Thursdays. Somebody in our chat room. Thursdays.
Yeah, Bat. Thursdays.
By the way, go to RackRadioShow.com. You were saying, Lindsay?
11 p.m. Eastern, set your alarm clock for the right time so it goes off and you're not 2 hours late.
That's 10 p.m. Central. Make sure you have your time zones correct. Anyway. Sorry.
Yes, Pink Kittens has got it. T for Thursday, you know, T for Terra. Terra Thursdays. It's Terra Thursdays or Terrified.
Mm-hmm. Which has screening last night at the Squared Circle. Apparently people liked it.
When do we get to see it, huh?
Huh? Huh? When? Huh? 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 Anyway, Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's CB Radio. With myself, Rob Parks, and somebody anywhere else doing the show. It's weird, it's wacky, it's unusual, and Scott Barry's probably regretting ever coming on and playing, you know, apples to apples, because he'll eventually be in a commercial. We'll be back next Sunday night for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live.
So basically, Scott Barry knows all the shame that the rest of us feel. Mm-hmm. Sweet.
11 p.m. Eastern, we'll be here live for WTR Sunday Night. covering WWE Payback, which somebody's going to. Maybe they should call in and talk about their experience. Maybe. Maybe. Anyway, Mace, plug something.
Hold on a sec, I'll just reach in and plug in my DS, okay?
Omega, plug something.
Let's see, I could plug tjomega.org, where all of my video stuff is kept, or TJ Omega on YouTube, where it's a little bit easier to find, and you can see me eat disgusting teriyaki snacks out of Japan. Or there's TJ Reviews over on Facebook, where I just post random crap.
Lindsay.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. You can go to Cassidy's website, CassidyRiley.net. And, of course, go to RecRadioShow.com. And since somebody, hint, hint, wink, wink, is going to Payback, if that somebody would like to send me the shield in a box, I would greatly appreciate it.
You had your chance.
They came out on the wrong side. How the hell am I supposed to pounce on them when they're on the opposite side of the arena?
Apparently they're spoken for, apparently. Anyway, follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Join the Facebook group at Facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. So for everybody who was on this show, thank you for joining us. We'll see you next Sunday night for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I walk for my machine. I walk for my machine. WildTalkRadio.com.